I just felt like it was a little bit of a kick in the balls, to be honest.
It came a lot sooner than I thought that I would be the oldest player on the team.
That's all you got, brother. That's all you got.
The word of the day would have been hyper-realism.
We're bad at soccer, but we're good on a bagel.
Holding the high line with Rabbi and Red, talking the rapids and turning heads, with questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home, thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Colorado Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the High Line with fake Roger Bennett and wannabe Grant Wall. My name is Matt Pollard. It is Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. Happy 52nd birthday, head coach Chris Armas. Ted Lasso has been renewed for a fourth season. Oasis is reuniting, and the Colorado Rapids are getting back together with the CONCACAF Champions League, CONCACAF Champions Cup, CONCACAF Champions. Surely this time it will actually be successful. I'm joined now by a man who's going to be the one that saves me, Rabbi Mark Goodman.
Because after all, you're my wonderwall. Sorry about the delay. I was like pausing one thing and unpausing another. Don't edit it out, Matt. Keep my rough spots in the thing. Okay. We just had an epic rant before the show, and I just wanted to offer my appreciation to Matt for hearing me, you know, bitch and moan about all the difficulties of being a middle-aged white man in America, and all the troubles of like picking out a dinner for my kids that they ultimately didn't like, right? Like, I made stir fry because I was lulled into a false sense of security that the kids had been eating my stir fry for the last couple of months and that they liked it. And the kids looked at me, like, the younger kid looked at me and goes, "Abba, I don't really like this meal. Can you not make it anymore?" And I was like, oh, the appreciation, right? There's been a lot of memes on the intertubes about kind of like the tyranny and difficulty of the most, you know, oppressive and stressful act of humankind in the modern era, which is figuring out what to make for dinner every single night, 365 days a year, every day of your life until you die. It becomes a little bit more difficult when, you know, for those of you who are solo at home or whatever, or just live with one partner, where like, you guys once in a while can just fall asleep on the couch under a bag of Doritos and, you know, like Funyuns and chase that with like two Mr. Pibs. Like, you can't do that.
Don't you be coming at girl dinner right here. do not insult girl dinner on the
You can't
podcast.
Do that with kids, Matt, because you feel horrible. Like, if your kids go to school the next day and they say, And they talk at lunch about what they had for dinner last night, and they say, "We had two bags of Funyuns and a Mr. Pibb." They're like, "Social services is coming to your house the next day." So, like, you. But anyways, but when they don't even appreciate when you make a homemade dinner, I don't know. That's the impression. That was just one of many whiny things that I threw at Matt. So we, you know, prayer hands up. We appreciate you, Matt Pollard, who, by the way, is newly shorn. They took his curly red locks off to Locks for Gingers, and he is absolutely living that bald life, which I think was the reference in the early rundown about Grant Wall and Raj Bennett, who are both, you know, legendary balds. So,
yes. So I got my head shaved 3 hours ago. Listeners, I don't know. We haven't talked about this. Actually,
wait, you
Mark.
Didn't do it yourself?
No.
You like got it done?
Yes, I got it done. It was full of strange sensations because, like, I felt aftershave on my face before, Mark, because I've shaved my face before. But, like, aftershave on my head, having my head shaved and everything was a new... I'm exposing myself to all of these sensations, Mark. In the last, like, 3 hours, like, I can't stop touching my head. Is this what you've been experiencing since, like, you were... whenever it was that you went bald? I need your... I was your therapy... pre-podcast, Mark, and I think now, like, I need recommendation. How too bald? How bald, Mark? How shaved head?
So I don't bick it. I don't like go like the full Michael Jordan. Like, okay. So I'm pretty close to what you do. I have a set of clippers at home, and I put them on zero, and I go to town. Okay. And I and one of the things I learned is One day I went to work and I came home and my wife goes, did you go to work like that? And I go, yeah. She goes, you know, you missed a spot. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, there's a whole stripe of hair in the back of your head. And it's not even like in the middle, like a cool half mohawk. Like it's like off center and you didn't do it. So that was the other one of the early valuable lessons in cutting my own hair became make sure to go over it two or three times. Cleaning the blade has been kind of like a learning experience, like figuring out how to wash all the extra hair and schmutz off the top of the head. No, just like jumping in the shower right afterwards. But I'm giving you advice about how to cut it yourself.
I'm not. This isn't a recurring thing here.
You probably won't do it again, right? There's not a lot to do. I mean, I think your point of like rubbing your hand over it because it feels really neat. Like I did that a lot at the beginning. But now I have a full beard and I find myself tugging my beard all the time to a degree that can sometimes be a little bit obsessive and dorky. But
it's very thinky. It's very philosophical.
Well,
rabbi.
I am literally a rabbi. And I was like teaching. I was like teaching a Talmud class the other day and tugging on my beard. And I was like, ah, yes, I am doing what my people have been doing for thousands of years. Like I'm a genre. I'm like an NPC of a rabbi because I have the beard and I stroke it and all the things. So yeah.
To quote Futurama, indeed so, most indeedly. But so okay, we haven't mentioned this on the show explicitly, listeners. I'm going to be out for the first 2 weeks of September. I'm a volunteer with Engineers Without Borders. It's like Doctors Without Borders, but we tend to go to stable countries. So I'm sure you've probably read in the news at some point in the last 6 months, there's been a Doctors Without Borders hospital that got hit by frack randomly and people died either in Ukraine or somewhere in the Middle East with the conflict going on between Palestine and Israel. We tend to go to more stable places and we mostly work on water projects and stuff that is like basic one-story concrete building. So there is a primary school in middle of nowhere farming country near Mwanza, Tanzania, that needs a pit latrine toilet facility for the girls who need to be able to go number one and number two and do other things during the day. So I'm building that. So I will be gone the evening of September 3rd, and then I will be back on the 16th. So Mark and I hopefully are podcasting on Labor Day Monday this coming week to review the Dallas game. And then Mark's effectively in charge for the Portland home game. That's not ominous in any way. And then probably also SKC on the road. We will see Rabbi where I'm at jet lag wise come the home match on the 21st, which is against Toronto FC. So there might be no podcast after next week for a couple of weeks, listeners, or Mark might have some guests and there might be a bunch of audio issues. I don't know because I normally do post stuff. But so in the community we're going to be working, it is beating hot dry season and it is 95 degrees with 90% humidity. And I have this big, huge hiking boonie cap and sunscreen. And so I'm like, okay, I have being a ginger is part of my identity. I'm extremely attached to my hair. As you've seen, it is part of my drip. It is a part of my aura, if you will, that I have had when I get all dripped up for and dapper for match day games. And so I've been thinking about, you know, is this a good exercise for how I feel about my hair, comparing that, whether or not I can go without it, whether or not that's something that I feel a significant attachment to. And the timing about this was convenient because I'm not going to be in the office for 2 weeks and not having hair is going to be beneficial. To say nothing of the fact, Mark, that I am now, of course, copying Georgi Mihailovic after the Colorado Rapids were successful in Leagues Cup as well. So I am wannabe Georgi Mihailovic. Mark, which Rapids ball do you want to be? Are you claiming Connor Casey? We go on Chris Armas. Who do you want to be?
Wow, this is the second. This is the second which ball do you identify with question of the podcast, because I actually was still trying to figure out which one of us was Raj Bennett, which one of us was Grant Wall. I wish I was Grant Wall because he writes so good and Raj Bennett is such a nebbishy Jewish guy that that's kind of like obviously me. But, you know, but Raj is to flip the script. Raj is the overprepared, writes out a beautiful monologue guy on the podcast, and his co-potter on Men in Blazers, whose name is escaping me right now.
It was Michael Davies, and now it's British soccer journalist Rory Smith, I believe.
Wait, is that true?
Yes.
I haven't listened in a while. Michael Davies isn't on it?
anymore?
Yeah, no. This was
oh my god.
This was a couple of months ago, Mark. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I'm breaking
I
so much
up.
News tonight.
That's crazy. Okay. I read Rory Davis of the New York Times for a long time, and I'm not a he's okay, but I'm not a huge anyways, point is yeah, I think Matt, you with the preparedness and the thoughtfulness and the well-scriptedness, you make a good Raj Bennett too.
Okay. Last thing I'll say,
which Colorado Rapids? Wait. Let's figure out which Rapids bald I am. God, I'm trying to think of someone else who's a bald.
Tim Howard.
Well, he's like very too much man for me. Okay. There's more man in Tim Howard's right pectoral than there is in all of me. You know. God, that is such a good question. I'm trying to think of other balds.
Andrew Gutman was there last year. He wasn't there super long.
I'll call Georgie Mihailovich. I'll just go with the recent up and comer, you know, like he skinned his head. So
was Joe Nasco bald?
Joe Nasco.
No, he had hair when he was a Rapids player. I retract that.
Such a good. Yeah, I feel like we're short on balds. It's interesting. The defensive midfielder who Pablo Mastroeni used to roll out all the time. Of 2015. Oh, I have to look this up.
Sam Cronin was a buzz cut.
No. This is an Italian name, but an Italian American guy. I'm looking it up. I know I'm gonna get this. Oh my God. He had the receding hairline that caused me. Nick LaBraca!
Nick LaBraca was.
I love Nick LaBraca, by the way. I thought he was unfairly maligned as a Colorado Rapid, but Nick LaBraca had the receding hairline buzz cut, right? Like he didn't cut it back all the way. Like you could see the hair there, but he kept it really short because his hairline had crept back to like the middle of his brow. So, but Nick LaBraca was a defensive midfielder who I felt like if he had been paired with someone else and the rest of the team around him was really good, he could have had a Sam Cronin to Michael Azira level of success. But instead, he was just kind of rolled out as like the 70th minute, you know, keep the game close kind of guy. And he never really quite kind of. But I think Nick LaBraca is one of the most underrated soccer players in Major League Soccer history. Book it. Also, a classic bald.
Okay. Last thing that we'll say, Mark, because this is way too much banter on.
Wait,
something
Did you pick a player, that you wanted to be identified with?
Well, I mean, if it's Gingers, then I'm Jeff Lerenowitz. I don't think there's any question about that, Mark.
Was he ever bald?
No, I'm picking a ginger. Okay, so
you're bald now.
Okay, well, can I be Georgie Mihailovich then, or who else?
Yes,
would
I've taken Nick LaBraca. I've given you Georgie Mihailovich.
Okay,
is that or Connor Casey? I mean, Connor Casey's pretty darn good.
Yeah. Last thing that I'll say on this, Mark, I remember there was an interview that Sean Dyche did, and he was asked about when he started shaving his head. Sean Dyche is a ginger. He has been bald or balding and then therefore has had a shaved head. I think the entire time he's been in management, Mark, I don't know. I wasn't watching English football early enough in my life to know Sean Dyche the player and Sean Dyche the ginger, as opposed to the retired player now managing who had a shaved head. And he commented that as soon as the receding hairline went, he said that receding hairline with red hair was worse than being bald. So like you had to get rid of you had to purge yourself of the ginger in order to be bald, because being bald was better. So that is one person's data point on which that you're choosing. With my full head of hair and what I'm capable of doing for stylistically with my hair, I would prefer that. So in that regard, Mark, I'm Georgie Mihailovich, because I'm doing this willingly. I did this voluntarily. I'm doing this to look like my slightly less handsome co-host that I have, not Chris Armas, but Rabbi Mark Goodman here. And I'm fully capable of growing my hair back. And I don't have regrets yet, but like it's not as good as it looked 4 hours ago. Okay. Mark, this past Sunday at not PPL Stadium, at Subaru Park, the Colorado Rapids played Philadelphia Union, and they got a win 3-1 in penalties after going 2-2 in regular time. Really a game of two halves for me. Rabbi, I thought Philly came out when we were the much more energetic team. They were much more intense. I don't know that the Rapids weren't dealing with the Union high line and high press, but very well in terms of what they were trying to build out in transition. And they really struggled when Philly got in and then put their eights out wide and then overloaded the fullbacks. And that was something Keegan Rosenberry was taking on water and something that Sam Vines was not handling particularly well at all. And it ultimately came down to big defensive efforts from Lalas Abubakar, from Andreas Maksu, big chances missed by Mikhail Oure, Daniel Gosdag, of course, several huge saves from Zach Steffen, and completely against the run of play, the Rapids get their first chance of the game in the 38th minute, and it's a goal because Jacob Glesnes, who I talked about being potentially an injury concern on the pod last week, tried to step to the ball, wasn't able to get to somebody, Georgi Mihailovic plays somebody through, and Rafael Navajo sets up Calvin Harris for a 1v1 with Andre Blake, and cool as Joe Cool, is able to slot the ball home and score. Philadelphia unfortunately respond. Mark, I believe he's an Israeli international. Ty Baribo, Mark's nodding, gets a brace before halftime. He scores in the 41st minute off of kind of a double header in the box, and the Rapids didn't really have good players set up. It wasn't they didn't handle the positioning well, and then similarly there was bad positioning after a recycled ball on a second chance off a set piece. Actually, that was the first goal, excuse me. Then the second one was kind of in a broken play sequence after Philly hit the post, and then the rebound came in and kind of an unfortunate bounce for Lalas Abubakar, and Baribo has a tap in. Colorado comes back, Mark, and in the opening minutes of the first half, they get a couple corners in a row, and the Denver De Bruyne, Oli the Roz himself, is there at the top of the box to slot it home. Absolute golazo from him. Chances kind of back and forth, Mark. Lalas Abubakar had that header off the post off of a set piece that I think would have been in an offside position. Philly had some shots from sharp angles that were close in terms of how many feet they were away from the nearest goalpost, but in terms of the angle were not something that Zach Steffen thought was worth going for, so they were harmless goal kicks in that regard. And we see the match end 2-2, and the Colorado Rapids take it in penalties as Jack Elliott is stopped by... Jack Elliott made his PK. Let me look at the ones who missed, because I don't have that open. We're just going to leave in all the warts, listeners. All the warts and all the weird little bald nicks that I have on my head right now. So it was Daniel Gosdag who was denied by Zach Steffen in the bottom of the first. And then Baribo, the goal scorer, was stopped by Zach Steffen as well. A couple guys make their PKs. And then we had the one miss from the Rapids was Connor Ronan with a chance to win it. And he puts his penalty over the bar. But then... very similar to Malagno, the goalkeeper for Club America. Mbaizo puts his shot off the crossbar, and the Rapids win in four penalty rounds by a score of 3-1 with Zach Steffen making two staves. And Mark, that was it. And the Colorado Rapids survived the Philadelphia Union. They hang around like they've had against some really, really good League MX team, and they rely on converting their penalties and Zach Steffen making their stops. And now the goalkeeper of the tournament, Zach Steffen, has put the Rapids into the CONCACAF champions. Rabbi, your good things.
Yeah, I think you kind of like buried the lead there, which is like the Rapids qualify for CONCACAF Champions League because of this third place win, which I think is weird. You know, we haven't spent a whole lot of time. I wrote three little sections of my last Backpass article was dropped last week. And in one of them, maybe it dropped on Saturday, I don't remember, Sunday. One of them was kind of like analyzing League's Cup, whether it works or not, based on attendance and the problems that have taken place. But like, you know, one of the things that I didn't even discuss is like the fact that CONCACAF has decided to give out three Champions Cup positions based on this, which means that Philly kind of got jobbed out of having one of those Champions League spots in a season when they're not doing very well, and it doesn't look like they'll be making it otherwise. But you know, one of those things that's always funny about being kind of a tail end of your season, having a struggling season, and then maybe having to play in a second or a third cup tournament that you wouldn't otherwise had to. Like, I remember a couple years ago, Tottenham qualified for either Champions League or Europa, but they also, maybe it was the year after they lost Harry Kane, or maybe it was the year that they lost a couple other like prominent players, and they went into that tournament and they just didn't seem like they really wanted to be there or could deal with being there. They were like really struggling in the Premier League, and they were like, yo, we can't be over here in the Champions League. We got things to do. We need to stay afloat. And that's kind of like a situation that the Rapids have known in the past. You know, they had the year in 2017 when they qualified for CONCACAF Champions League. The year after they won the Western Conference, and then they just got blown out by Toronto in the freezing cold, and they just did not look like they were ready to be there. And that's a like kind of a running problem, you know, like where because you qualify for a tournament that doesn't take place till a whole year later, qualifying can be. Anyways, I'm on a total tangent that has nothing to do with this game. My point is this. Ty Baribo's brace was really great. I've been kind of keeping... I watch the a number of national teams regularly. The Israeli national team gets a lot of my attention. Ty Baribo has been capped, but I don't think he's ever started for the Israeli national team. They're really trying to figure out where they go next. In their last couple tournaments, they didn't have Manor Solomon, who's their best player. He plays for Tottenham. Speaking of which, kind of available. So Baribo is really trying to impress, and boy, did he in this match. And I think he's had a slow start with the Union. They just really haven't been using him primarily as their starting striker. He seems like he's turning it on. He was finishing. I think one finish with the head and a second with the foot is also really impressive by him. But I thought the goals in this game were overall spectacular. That first goal that you kind of like briefly mentioned, Matt, from Rafa Navajo to Hafa Navajo, kind of a beautiful, like, way out in open space. And then he kind of, like, dishes it across to Calvin Harris, who goes five-hole to score the goal. Just a gorgeous play all around. And Ali Larraz's volley was fantastic. You know, somebody's going to make a bad T-shirt called Ali's Volleys at some point. It's been noted that Larraz has been taking these, like, quarter and half volleys from the top of the box like all season, and they haven't been going in. I think Ollie's also been taking a lot of like long distance shots that haven't made it, so to finally see him bang one in was really good. I do think that like it takes a lot of chutzpah to decide you're gonna like to. I think this was Ollie's second goal of the year. That's my memory. I don't know.
Yes.
You can look it up, but like, it takes a lot of chutzpah to score a goal on a volley as your second goal of the year. Like, volleys are for closers, right? Volleys are for guys with a dozen goals. Like, volleys are not a thing. Like, if you have one goal a year, it better not be a volley, right? Like, it's going to be like a trashy follow-up, a bundled home goal, a total gimme at the whistle, right? Like, it's not going to be like this audacious. And, you know, Ali's goal was, you know, degree of difficulty very high, and he finished it anyway. So that was my take. And you know, I think the last thing that you know, you will say probably going forward, Matt, is like how great our goalkeeper of the tournament, Zach Steffen, has been. He was great in this match. I don't think he was quite as theatrically fantastic, or needed to be quite as theatrically fantastic, as he had to be in previous game. But that being said, or more importantly, in the game against Club America, but you know, like looking back, like he's changed my mind. This reminds me very much of when we maligned Diego Rubio for like a year and a half, 2 years, and then he just blew up and we were all like, yay, Diego Rubio, we always knew you could do it. Like, you know, we had to kind of like turn on a dime. I've been complaining bitterly about Zach Steffen's advanced metrics, and then suddenly he just, you know, he gets it, and all of a sudden things are working. I don't understand it. I don't know what it is. I don't really understand. I mean, I think the goalkeeper position should be almost identical, you know, from team to team. Like, you know, you're seeing the same stuff. I'm not sure what clicked, why it clicked, and why it clicked now, but it is clicking, and that's great to see. So more of that, please.
Yeah, no, I think I said this last week, Mark, you know, when we did the voice notes podcast, but I think, you know, even if the Rapids had potentially, had the Rapids lost the third place game, this would have been this could have been the worst case scenario for the Rapids in terms of you play the most number of Leagues Cup games without having a chance to actually win anything or have it be competitively meaningful. You know, you're playing more games. Obviously, there's the prize money thing, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, which I do think will be significant for both the players and the club as well. But, you know, the Phillies was in the worst situation possible because they played the most number of games. They didn't actually win anything. So if you make the final, you have a chance to win a major trophy as LAFC did and didn't because Steve Tarundolo can't beat Wilfer Nancy. But then the Rapids actually went from this being emotionally significant or just fun to competitively meaningful by qualifying for Champions Cup. But I would argue, even had the Rapids lost in penalties or lost earlier, I would say this run has absolutely been a net positive because it's been the right kinds of games and the right number and fixture congestion of games for Zach Steffen to find something that I do think is a level up from what he's done previously and is an indication of where he could be in the future with the Rapids. If this is the version that, you know, Zach Steffen that the Rapids are getting, Mark, I feel so much better about what this team can do defensively and about this team's chances to compete against that middle tier, that second tier of teams that are looking to compete with. And we won't talk about this necessarily tonight, Mark, but we've mentioned it previously, which is, you know, it's a relatively soft schedule that the Rapids have coming up. You know, we'll talk about Dallas, who's had a bit of a new coach bump as well, but they've got to play at Minnesota. Minnesota's kind of dropped off as well. They get Toronto at home. They're a mess, even though they have Bernadeschi and Insigne as well. They have to go at Austin. Like, they don't have a big, they're done playing LAFC. They host LA Galaxy. They're hosting Seattle Sounders, who I don't think are much better. They're done with Vancouver. They're done with Houston. They're done with RSL. Like, it's a soft schedule, Mark, for the Rapids to, I think, especially with RSL maybe having some issues now coming out of Leagues Cup, for the Rapids to, I think, jump into that top three and then maybe get not just one round of a home playoff seeding, but maybe potentially two as well. I think that's on the cards for the Rapids. And I feel much more confident about that potentially happening because of what's happening in goal. So I can't understate it enough. If nothing else, the Rapids could have lost in, I would say, Mark, from the moment you hit the full-time whistle at Club America on whatever that Saturday was and everything, I think that was enough for Zach Steffen to find something else. What he was able to do in penalties against León, the Juarez game was the Juarez game, but then to do it back-to-back against Toluca and then at Club America, I think was where things leveled up. And then everything that he's done since then has just been a confirmation that that was signal, not noise. So Zach Steffen deserves all that credit. You know, you talked about the Ollie LaRoz goal, Mark, so I won't belabor that any further. But Calvin Harris, Rabbi, 6 goals, 3 assists, all competitions. He's been the most goal-dangerous winger for the Colorado Rapids. And the only player who has as many or more goal contributions at all comps this year has been Kevin Cabral, who we're not expecting to be back until potentially that final week of the regular season or come playoff times. Mark, I'll throw this to you. Is Calvin Harris the best winger that the Rapids have? I know we've been bantering back and forth about him versus Omir. Omir has a good relationship with Rafael Navajo, but just simply on what he's able to do production-wise and in some of those critical moments, Mark, like, he hasn't had a nervy moment from a finishing standpoint. Is Calvin Harris the best winger, Rabbi, and should he be the de facto starter at right mid going forward?
I mean, it pains me to say this because it makes me feel like I've been wrong a lot this year, but I don't think I've been wrong. Kevin Cabral, healthy and on his game, has been the best winger. And that's not because Calvin Harris's finishing has been very good. His passing is okay. And his overall threat level is kind of like moderate to high. And I think that that's what Kevin Cabral gives you. Kevin Cabral's pressing has been very good. Cabral's been a good passer with Rafa Navajo. They've created a good relationship. He's created a good relationship with Cole Bassett also. They have, like, nice chemistry on the run. And I think the other thing about Kevin Cabral is he stretches the field in ways that nobody else on the team does. I mean, Jonathan Lewis does, but and they've had throughout their time with the Rapids, they both had equal troubles with kind of like regularity and finishing. But overwhelmingly, like, I think Kevin Cabral's contribution has been higher. That being said, Calvin Harris, as a young guy, has a higher kind of like potential level. Like, there's more there. he could turn into a really, really top level player. I think that it's always hard to get wingers who kind of do all the things you need them to. We've always had wingers who were aggressive, like attacking players, and they were physical and they crossed the ball well. I'm thinking of Johan Blomberg. I'm thinking of our Scottish salmon, who is our
Danny Wilson.
Danny, no. The
Sam Nicholson.
Sam Nicholson, right? I didn't even know where I was dribbling. That was his famous quote to you and me. Yeah, like guys like that who they can bend in a ball really well. They're not the fastest guy on the field, but they connect well. And then we've had other guys who were just like laser fast, but like the final product wasn't there, like a Josh Gatt, a Kevin Cabral kind of guy. You know, I want to mention Juan Ramirez, but he was, you know, kind of below average of all those players. But like, you know, we've never really been super blessed for wingers, and the league, you know, in MLS, if you could be a plus plus winger, you can bend in a ball, you have incredible pace, and you're fantastic finisher, you're gonna wind up, you know, moving on. You know, like Antonio Davies, you know, like was a wide player who could do all the things, and that's why he wound up at Bayern. You know, trying to think, Jack Harrison, striker, but also really mostly a wide player, and he was fantastic, and that's why he's in Europe now. You know, like that's, so if you're really that good. So anyhow, I think Calvin Harris has potential. We're really excited about him.
Let's move on to bad things, Mark. You know, I think the main thing for me was certainly in the first half. I don't know what went wrong there tactically, or maybe Philly was just overwhelming the Rapids, but I think we need to give some credit here, Mark. You know, this is another game in which I think Chris Armas, the team was not out of it at the end of the first half. They'd clearly been the second best team in the first half, and they come out and they immediately address the issues, and they do that without needing a substitution. So Chris Armas has done a really good job in terms of his halftime messaging and whatever little tweaks they're dealing with. You know, maybe they kind of had an initial plan for what was going to work, and either it didn't work or there were some new things that Philly threw at them that they hadn't necessarily seen from the film previously in Leafs Cup. But for all of that, Mark, you know, as much as I've been doom and gloom about this team when they go up against the top teams in MLS, you know, the Ohio teams, Inter Miami with a fully healthy Lionel Messi, both of the LA teams I would put in a tier above the Rapids. If teams allow the Rapids to hang around, the Rapids can find ways of tweaking, getting back in games, and being good in those moments. And I think that starts with what Chris Armas changes at halftime once they've been punched in the face, as he likes to say, and then, you know, make some small little changes and then maybe get, you know, a little bit of invigoration going up with some motivation and some encouragement from the players as well. And so, you know, Philly does a lot of stuff tactically that I think is a lot of nuance. I do think Jim Curtin is one of the top five coaches in MLS, even though, you know, obviously they're not having as good of a year this year. But, you know, I would say that, you know, the Rapids maybe were out coached or out prepared for the start of it. But I think gradually they grew into the game and they figured things out, and it was balanced. By the time we got to the 90th minute, I thought it was deserved that it was a draw and that it went to penalties. I think the Rapids would have been hard done by to lose that game in 90 minutes. And I think if they were to do that, it would have required Philly to be more clinical in those opening 20 minutes. And surprise, you put Lal Subhubakar in a last-ditch effort, and he has to make a defensive play. He's able to do that. Andreas Maxou, same thing. And then, of course, Zach Steffen as well. Thought the officiating was a little inconsistent as well, Mark. Just kind of really laissez-faire, let the boys play and everything in a way that I thought was inconsistent. I don't think it favored one team or the other. I know Ure went down in the box a little bit in the opening minutes, and Philly might have wanted that to be a penalty. I didn't think it was. But, you know, another game as well, Mark, where Calvin Harris takes on oppositions and is able to force contact, but, you know, doesn't necessarily get, you know, should have drawn a foul, didn't, should have drawn a yellow card, didn't, you know, más o menos. I do have some concerns, Mark, about how tired this team is going to be. I do think it's good that, you know, that, you know, they've got, I think, one more double game week or one more Wednesday game. I think SKC's on a Wednesday and then LA Galaxy's on a Wednesday. So they'll get some time off with the international break that's coming up before the end of the regular season. But Chris Armas emphasized that the emotions post game in the locker room were one of relief and joy, but also of just kind of exhaustion. And maybe that's kind of a summiting the mountain kind of a thing, Mark, where it's like you realize you're tired or you allow yourself to be tired and express that tiredness once you've accomplished something. So maybe that was there, but I'm really interested to see what the legs look like as well. And so, you know, again, it's a soft schedule in the final eight games of the season. I'm not worried about this team missing the playoffs entirely, Mark. And even if the Rapids were to have a little bit of a lull, Rabbi, I could say right now confidently, I think this season's already been a success because we've absolutely raised the floor in the club. You won the Rocky Mountain Cup, which I think you could have done that on its own and probably Rapids fans would have been happy compared to this time last year. You know, because it would have been, Mark, I think it was the day after Labor Day, I think that Tuesday morning that Robin Fraser was fired. So you've already improved that and you've already qualified. You've won something for yourself in 2025. So I think at this point, Mark, like for sure get, you know, be the higher seeded team in that first round of the playoffs, certainly, which I think is a reasonable ask, and advance in the playoffs. And I think everything past that is gravy in the same way that I think everything after the Toluca result was gravy. You could argue just getting past Leon after what happened in that opening group stage game at Portland Timbers, that just getting out of the group was an accomplishment for the Rapids. So that's something that I have some concerns about. Mark, anything else? We talked about Stefan. We talked about CONCACAF Champions Cup. Bad things, big things?
Yeah, I mean, one big thing is that this was a return to Cole Bassett on the wing and LaRaz and Ronan as defensive midfielders, which is great. I mean, this team has a lot of different looks that it can show. The double redhead pivot down there, I think, is a really interesting move to make. I thought it worked here, but that's also because LaRaz had a good game. When Ollie has a bad game, we all get critical and we're like, I don't know what he's doing back there. Maybe we should sit him down. But, you know, he had to play without any, you know, choice because Connor Ronan was out for, I think, 6 weeks or so, or maybe even eight earlier in the season. It is good to have all the horses healthy. This is not, I know we're in bad thing and big thing, but another thing to note that both of our fullbacks had kind of a rough game. For Keegan Rosenberry, he recorded zero tackles on the night, and he had three plays in which the opponent was recorded as dribbling past him. I couldn't tell you what those were off the top of my head, but and I felt like Rosenberry, like Abubakar was asked to do a lot of work, and somehow I think that might have been because Rosenberry wasn't there. I would chalk that up to an exhausting Wednesday, Sunday, or Wednesday, Saturday tournament that just went on and on and on. And when you play long enough, that's kind of the nature. That is one of my criticisms of League's Cup, which is that all the attendance problems that come with League's Cup are jam-packing a whole bunch of games onto Wednesdays. And none of those Wednesday games, even the ones against Liga MX teams, did very well in terms of the gate. I doubt they did very well on TV either. It is hard to make appointment viewing for MLS soccer twice a week, even during the summer when I'm barely, you know, focused on my job. So on the other side of the fullback position, Sam Vines went down in the 64th minute with an injury and had to be replaced. That was an interesting moment because they went with Jackson Travis to replace him. I think that's a perfectly acceptable choice, but I do think, you know, you've got Sebastian Anderson, who has experience at, you know, at both left and right back. I think Keegan Rosenberry does a passable job at left back also. So it's an interesting question. It also might have been an opportunity to kind of shake things up and try to go with, you know, another kind of look, but that's what they did. I didn't really notice Jackson Travis at all in this match, so I would suppose that that means he did fine. but that's, this is kind of like a good question as to, like, it was kind of a bummer for our fullbacks. One off game, the other injury. I hope Sam Vines is okay. You know, hopefully he'll be back and healthy for our next match. Or maybe he'll take a week off and we'll find out.
To your point, Mark, about the scheduling being frustrating and that being not necessarily good from a fandom standpoint or good from a, it basically really only works from a TV appointment viewing sicko standpoint. I don't think there's any question, Rabbi, that the primary target audience for Leagues Cup is the TV viewing Liga MX fan who buys Apple TV exclusively to watch their team in Leagues Cup. And many other things have been sacrificed or inconvenienced in order for that. We won't go down this rabbit hole just yet, Mark. I have frustrations with how Leagues Cup Media, which I believe is mostly, I think it's a CONCACAF venture, not even an MLS thing. The Rapids Comm staff did not have a lot of control in a lot of the things that were going on there. So this isn't, you know, bringing up No One Good FC or anything from last year, listeners. But so I have some gripes about that. But so one of those, Mark, has been the way that they've handled some of their Zoom calls. And fortunately, I was able to actually get a second question. It was the last question of the presser. And I was able to ask Chris Armas for an update on Sam Vines. It was hamstring tightness. It was a presumptive, or what's the word that I'm struggling with here? It was a precautionary injury substitution. They'll have to reevaluate. I'm not going to be able to go out to training this week, but we'll, now that we're back to MLS play, we'll get the MLS injury report, something that we weren't getting during Leagues Cup. So presumably on Friday afternoon, we'll know whether or not Sam Vines is available, questionable, doubtful, out. And I thought Jackson Travis was okay, Mark, in those final 20 minutes where he needed to be. And I think for the most part, other than the Vancouver Whitecaps game where he got dunked on by Sebastian Berhalter at BC Place, I don't know that Jackson Travis has been all that bad defensively, or that he doesn't try to do anything offensively that then puts himself or puts his teammates in bad defensive positions, which is still something that I think is a fair criticism of Sam Vine. So if it's Jackson Travis against what I don't think is a particularly wide threatening team with FC Dallas, then I think the Rapids overall are going to be okay in that regard. But we'll see. Mark, anything else about this game, or shall we move on to FC Dallas as the Rapids resume league play?
Wow, we're previewing a game. That's awesome.
Listeners, this coming Saturday, August 31st, the Colorado Rapids will be taking on FC Dallas. This is their annual Fish Dicks away day, as Dick's Sporting Goods Park will be hosting the huge Fist concert. I think it's all 3 days. I'm not sure, Mark. I've never been to Fish Dicks, because on Saturday, I'm usually watching the Rapids. In any case, we resume to league play, Mark, so let's actually talk about the table, which hasn't changed in a while. The Rapids still find themselves in fourth in the Western Conference. They've got 41 points off of 26 games played, so they've got 8 matches left to play in the MLS regular season. They have 12 wins, 9 losses, and 5 draws, and a goal difference of +7, and away from DSG Park, they have a record of 4-7-2. FC Dallas, Mark, all the way down in 10th. They're the last team out of the playoffs right now in the Western Conference. They have 33 points off of 26 games played, a record of 9-11-6. They have an even goal difference, and at home at Toyota Stadium this year, they are 8-3-2. Mark, there hasn't been, I don't feel like Dallas had a big splash like some of the other Western Conference teams. No Marco Royce, no Olivier Giroux that they were bringing up or anything. So let's look at their roster. FC Dallas still has a lot of injuries to deal with, and some of these were even going back to what was ailing them when they came here for Sustainability Night, which was a 2-1 win for the Colorado Rapids. Paxton Pomykal has been out. Alan Velasco, their main straw that stirs the drink in midfield, he's been out as well. And then Jesus Ferreira was listed as out for this past weekend, which was a 4-3 win for FC Dallas at DC United. They scored a bunch of goals, and they scored 4 goals in the first half, Mark. It was 4-3 Dallas. Excuse me. It was 4-2 Dallas, at halftime. And so in any case, Jesus Ferreira was listed as out for that game, but then was able to sub in. They're still mostly playing the 3-4-3 under interim manager, Peter Lucin, Mark Lucin. They fired their head coach previously, not Luchi Gonzalez. I'm misremembering his name, but so they fired him in July, Mark, and they won a couple of games in July. They were looking better. They still had the same shape, but I think it simplified a lot of their tactics, and it kind of been a very kind of Connor Casey 2019 of let's roll out the ball, just have fun, play, and play up the middle. So they're in a 3-4-3 mostly. Sebastian Ibiage and Marco Farfan are at the back. Martin Paas is in goal. Sebastian Legette is in that 2 in that 4-2-3-1. And they had Farrington up top, Mark. I have to assume that was only because Jesus Ferreira wasn't available. I'm not seeing Peter Musa, the big Croatian striker who they paid a bunch of money for in the off season. He was not in the match day squad and he was not listed on their availability report. So I'm not sure what's going on with him. Paul Areola has been in a wide, albeit more box to box midfield role, Mark, less of a winger. And Alan Velasco was an unused substitute, at DC United this past weekend. So a bit of squad rotation, a same shape, but maybe simplified tactics for them going on. And I think the simple fact that, they've got maybe a new voice. They're looking a little bit better. Oh, and then Ruan, Mark, the wing back who played with Orlando City for a number of years, the Brazilian, he's with them as well. So, I mean, this team mostly hasn't changed from a high-end talent standpoint, listeners. They've got some squad rotation, maybe because of injuries, maybe because of fatigue coming out of League's Cup or coming back into MLS play as they try to rebuild fitness. Mark, I don't think this is a particularly good team. Obviously, they went at DC United and they won, but DC United is a very known quantity and a very simple thing to deal with as long as you can get a center back who gets their hands on Christian Benteke. Dombaji started in this game as well, Mark. He was unable to score. Not super surprised there. I don't think Dallas is a good team, Mark. I think they look slightly different from how they looked against the Colorado Rapids this past week. I think a full week of prep. I think the Rapids should be able to go there and get a result. It is a road game. The Rapids are coming off the emotional high of League's Cup. And normally, Mark, Frisco, Texas is not a happy place for the Colorado Rapids. They much prefer Frisco, Colorado. I will take and I will bet for a 1-1 draw in this game.
Those are all great calls, Matt. I think it'll be, for me, I will probably watch this game and less be focused. This is one of those rare moments where I'll be less focused on the Rapids and more interested in watching Dallas, because I love the kind of murder she wrote, diagnosis murder, Peter Falk in the Columbo, kind of like, you know, detective work of figuring what's wrong with this team. Because there's a world where the Dallas team, as they were assembled, seemed perfectly fine to me. I was excited about them. I think I gave them high marks and expected them to be in the playoffs. Peter Musa was an unknown quantity, but I assumed that based on his pedigree and how much they paid for him, that he was going to be good. This is a team that had Paul Areola, Sebastian Legette, Nkosi Tafari, who's been one of the better, last year was one of the better rising young defenders in all of MLS. Sebastian Ibiaga, who was an experienced center back, who had yet to hit his decline. Marco Farfan, who's kind of played around the league, right? I think it's always important to have that interesting mix between experienced MLS players and foreign players who come in and come with talent and pedigree and expectation. And it felt like they had a good balance of that, and it has not been so at all. You know, Legette and Areola have just not hit at all. They both look old. I think Legette is 31 and Areola is 29. Ruan is this, as you mentioned him, is one of the fastest wings in all of the league. He was just an absolute rocket for Orlando, and somehow he just does. The challenge with Ruan has always been you kind of like get out of his way and let him do his own thing. He's not necessarily well connected to the rest of the team. He's going to wing in a ball and like blow it way past everybody. He's going to, you know, send in a cross and it's going to like, you know, go into the seventh row. And that's just one of the things you put up with him. And as long as you've got that pace and he can connect a couple times a game, you're golden. And he hasn't, and he hasn't. And so that's been a real problem. So nothing's really hanging together. And I think all of this goes back finally to Peter Lucien, who is, an interim who is trying to prove that he deserves the job, and I don't think it looks like he's going to be getting it. Lucien, interestingly enough, fascinating guy. I did not know this about him, but his playing pedigree is fantastic. 391 career matches as a defensive midfielder. He's a French international, not really so much an international. He played for the France U-20s, but he never made it at the higher levels. Matt, he played for Atletico Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, Bordeaux, Marseille, Celta, Saragossa, Racing Santander, and FC Dallas, right? Like, it's a fascinating... Now, to be fair... He played for Paris Saint-Germain when they were trash, when they were a terrible team. I think maybe even in the second division. He played for Atletico Madrid He got a lot of starts, but, you know, in their time when they were kind of regularly fifth, sixth, seventh in La Liga in Spain. So, you know, not a very successful career as a soccer player. And the fact that he is kind of trying to make a go of it as a manager is really interesting. I think that's probably their biggest problem. They're an island of misfit toys in terms of pieces and parts. They never really fit together. Now they've got a manager who's an interim who can't really make heads or tails of what they are. You know, I think that the thing that was most exciting about this team going into, you know, this year was Paxton Pomacall. You know, finally he was going to be ready. Finally he was going to be, you know, of age, you know, experience, ready to go. Tore his ACL, done for the season, you know, probably looking at, like, kind of because of his injury history over the last 3 years, a full-blown career resurrection. FC Dallas is going to have to do some major surgery in the offseason to reconstruct this. They may be just kind of like slapping it together at the end to go on a victory tour, a glory tour, squeak into the playoffs, hang on to some guys. But right now, you are right, Matt. This is a FC Dallas team that the Rapids should be able to take apart. The only X factor in any game in Dallas, of course, is the heat. It's going to be warm. And the Rapids are tired. And so this feels like the kind of trap game where they go in and they are like not going on, you know, clicking on all cylinders. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Don't look now, Mark. But so for Saturday night, the weather expected in Frisco, Texas is 89, a high of 89, a low of 74. And
not
then
so
if we
bad.
Go, but if we go to at 6 p.m., there is a 32% chance of humidity. And then so there's kind of a bump there. There's some rain that's expected as well. Mark doesn't say lightning right now, but
you know, I hate those games. I hate those games where you have them more often than I do, where you get to the Dick and you see the gathering clouds out by the front range and you go, or just past the front range and you see a little lightning off in the distance. You go, we're not going home till 1 o'clock in the morning if we're lucky. You know, like that happens in Pittsburgh, too. I avoided one of those games this year that started 2 hours late, but I got schwacked by one of them, like, I think last year, where I was like, you know, kickoff was at 8:45. And, you know, I was like, I texted the wife and I was like, put the kids to bed. I'll see you later. You hate those games, but, you know, they happen.
Yeah, well, I guess the benefit that you have here, Mark, is one, it's an away game. So I suppose you're watching from home or you're watching from the bar and you just get another beer and another,
yes,
you know, round of nacho tots or what have you. You know, and it's at 6:30. So, you know, we've got another hour of time. You know, it's earlier in the night, I suppose. So we'll see what happens from a weather standpoint. Again, lightning's not expected, but, you know, weird things happen in Dallas, Mark. Dylan Cerna had that horrific injury in the Open Cup at FC Dallas. The Colorado Rapids squandered a lead twice, I think, under Anthony Hudson, under, you know, against FC Dallas. Maybe the only good thing, Mark, in the history of this podcast that has ever happened when the Colorado Rapids go to FC Dallas was last year, because Rafael Navajo finally broke his duck and scored a goal for the Rapids in a 1-1 draw on a broken play on a set piece. Last big thing that I'll say tactically on Dallas, Mark, was that they were very, very conservative. They borderline parked the bus in the reverse fixture back at Dick's in the cold weather, and it took Cole Bassett's creativity in an advanced role, and it took Kevin Cabral's width and speed to kind of unlock them as well. So I'm not sure. We don't have that option on the wing, obviously. I would think, Mark, this is probably a game that we see. Well, I thought Cole was decent in the wide spot, Mark. Okay, Rabbi, do you think it's Cole at left wing and Ollie and Connor in the double pivot on Saturday?
I mean, I kind of, so good. I think that is getting the maximum number of your best players on the field. I think that's what that is. I don't think Cole Bassett at the wide position is the best use of Cole Bassett. I think Cole thinks he's a 10. I think he's really great as an 8. I mean, I really want him back there kind of like alongside either Ollie or Connor. My favorite starting lineup involves, I guess, I kind of decided that Omir Fernandez isn't the guy. And if Kevin Cabral's out, I think your best lineup is probably Calvin Harris, Mihailovic, and then it's Larraz and Bassett. And who else is your wide guy? I'm trying to think of who else would be your next wide guy.
Johnny or KSB.
I guess it's Johnny. I guess Johnny Jonathan Lewis has been the best. I mean, if Cabral's not healthy, then that's what you go with. So that's my preference is you put. I think Connor Ronan has been. You know, I don't think he was doing super great before the injury, and I have yet to figure out what to do with him after the injury. So mm-hmm. I think Connor Ronan is a very solid soccer player, but my take on him is that he's not physical or rangy enough to be a kill it off defensive midfielder. He's not aggressive in attack enough or a big enough finisher to be, you know, kind of effective on the other end. And so, you know, I've kind of wanted Connor Ronan to grow some aspect of his game a little bit more. I still think it's possible, but I'd rather see him off the bench for this team. So
I do have to wonder, Mark, how much of maybe Connor's expectations or the comfortability that he was coming into, you know, since he's been with the team was under the assumption last year that he was coming to play with Jack Price, and then Jack Price gets hurt. And so then he's asked to be Jack Price. And then there's been so much chopping and changing in squad rotation. Cause when it's him and Ollie, you know, I think Ollie's the one who's more on the ball, but then I think Connor's more important from a mobility standpoint and building out of the back. I think it's the reverse when it's Connor and Kolbasic. Like, there hasn't been, you know, Connor Ronan's been here for a year and a half, Mark, and there hasn't been a lot of consistency in terms of his actual role or the players around him. He's made it work. He's a good professional. I think he's a good player. I think he's one of the 11 best players on the Colorado Rapids. But yeah, I think it is something that's certainly been a factor as he's come in, you know, and had to get used to the league and get used to travel. And he's become a father in that time as well. A lot of stuff going on for him. Did want to bring up one thing on FC Dallas, Mark. I was really high on Bernard Kamungo. I don't know if you saw him last year. And I'm not just saying it because he's a Tanzanian international. I'll be in Tanzania this time next week. But you know, U22 player, I think was originally with North Texas FC as well. And he was kind of Oscar Perea style signing, even though Oscar Perea, it was a very FC Dallas signing, I'll say that, Mark, but he hasn't been getting that many minutes. He's played almost 1,100 minutes this year. He's been in 23 games, but he's mostly been a substitute. He only has 11 starts. He had 6 goals last year, Mark, in MLS play, but he's got 3 assists this year, no goals scored. If he's not starting over some of the other players, or if maybe FC Dallas is coming in and bringing in a new head coach and bringing somebody in, I would not mind, on the long list of Rapids FC Dallas trades that the Rapids have made, where the Rapids have absolutely fleeced FC Dallas, I would not mind Bernard Kamungo being the next one. I know I've been hyping on the Rapids getting Paxton Pomykal, Mark. I think he's been too injury prone. I think I'm wondering whether or not this is just him. He can't stay healthy, but I know that was a player that I wanted maybe 2 to 3 years ago. I would not mind, with all that gam and all that money that the Rapids just got from Moise Bombito, dropping $1 million on Bernard Kamungo as another wide player if they don't go with a U22 international player in the winter. But we'll see. Maybe Kevin Cabral will arrive, and, you know, Kamani Stewart-Baines is still working to break into the team. I've got a 1-1 draw on this one, Mark. I will say that hard to say who I have scoring for FC Dallas, given that Musa wasn't in the team and Jesus Ferreira hasn't been in the squad. Maybe Sebastian Legette, I'm not sure. And I think Rafael Navajo scores in this one for the Rapids, Mark. Rabbi, you got a score line, and give me some goal scorers.
I think this game is less about you know, talent and skill, and more about exhaustion and being on the road. So I give this one to Dallas 2-1. I just think, even though the Colorado Rapids are the better team, they're coming off of a lot of energy expended in this big tournament, and they've just been fantastic, and you just can't live at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro all the time. Sometimes you got to come down to the plains, and I think that the Rapids need a week, a kind of a blow, like a breather, and you know, I wouldn't say that they should rotate the squad, because I don't think they're gonna, because they're gonna go back into league play all amped up and ready to go. But, like, I think, you know, mentally, the transition from big tournament and a long tournament, whereas other teams, you know, we didn't even mention this, but a lot of MLS teams this past Saturday, all the ones who were booted from League's Cup, they played a regular league match this week, you know, like, and so everybody else has had a week to kind of shift back into the regular season. And they've had time off, and the Rapids have not. And I think that that's tough. And in the Texas heat, they're going to wilt.
Weird things happen in Dallas, Mark. These games are usually not simple or, you know, they're not boring affairs, certainly. And I can't remember, Mark, I feel like it's usually a weird game for the week of Fish Sticks as well. You'll remember, I think it was Robin Fraser's debut was that 2-0 win.
Is this a Madism, or is like Fish Sticks like a known term that is like bandied about? Like I've never heard it before.
It's not the official term that the concert used to refer to, but I know a lot of jam band fans, Mark, who that is the term that they use to describe it.
I don't know about you, but I have lots of friends in Colorado who've never been to DSGP for a soccer game, and they are only vaguely aware that it is a soccer stadium. They've only been for the Fish show, and that's it. I mean, as a rabbi, most of my people are kind of like that kind of like hippie jam bandy Boulder type, more so than hardcore soccer fans. So I love it. I'm just mostly excited terrified to see how the field looks after it. You know, we know that north side's going to have a big imprint. Whether that takes 2 weeks to burn off or four is really the question.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be all right. I mean,
the pitch has been good this year. The crew's done a really good job.
Shout out to the grounds crew. There have been like, there's only been like one or two years in the entire time I've covered the Colorado Rapids where we really had major complaints about the pitch. By comparison, there are like, I mentioned this in the last back pass on Holding a Highline Substack. I didn't really notice it at the moment, or it happened. I don't think we discussed it, but like DC United was supposed to play a Leagues Cup game and they had to relocate the game to Philadelphia because the pitch was so bad after a women's rugby tournament. And DC United had originally said that they were going to re-turf the field, and they didn't get around to it in time, and the league fined them. And there were only 1,000 people at the game, because who wants to see some Mexican club play DC United in Philadelphia? So it was like
Union fan sickos who were there to boo DCU. That's it.
Yeah, right. But it was a midweek game. I mean, this was just a fiasco all around. But like, yeah, it feels like there's been a fair amount of that with Audi Field. It's a field that's really high on my list of stadiums I want to go to. But it feels like they just didn't quite spend the money on it that they could have. It's smaller than it ought to be. It's kind of like cheaper than it ought to be. It's kind of a bummer. So, oh well. You know, like note to the wise, you know, scrape your nickels together, get a couple more investors and spend $85 million instead of $45 million. I'm not sure how much they spent, but it clearly wasn't enough. So I don't know why I'm going on and on about DC United. Go back to you, Matt.
Oh, I was just going to say, finishing my thought, Mark, these Labor Day weekend away games are rarely boring in the case of the Colorado Rapids. 2022 was that 4-1 loss to Nashville. Robin Fraser absolutely going off on the refs and everything. There was the 2-0 win under Robin, the Jonathan Lewis brace at New York Red Bulls as well. And then last year was the Rocky Mountain Cup loss, Mark, that eventually saw Robin get fired as well. So normally these games are weird. They're not normal. I remember, I think it was the Minnesota United game, Mark, was Labor Day weekend as well, where Yannick Bolli got his only second ever goal for the Colorado Rapids. So you combined Labor Day weekend Rapids weirdness with Rapids going to Frisco to play FC Dallas weirdness. This game is going to be anything but a scoreless, shotless draw. Rabbi, shall we land this plane?
Let's do it before you take off on a plane to Tanzania. No, not Tanzania. You're going to Zimbabwe? Zimbabwe.
Tanzania.
I'm sorry. I don't know. They both have Z's in them.
Listeners,
I'm excited. Take a lot of photos. Make sure you post it and on the Instas and whatever if you have Wi-Fi wherever the hell you are. I'm excited for you. You are gonna. But now that, and we didn't talk much about bald care, but I know that you're a pasty pale white dude and you're probably gonna wear a giant hat. But you know, sunscreen, even on the top of your head, definitely.
Listeners, you can follow us on Twitter @soccer_rabbi, @LWS Matt Pollard, and @Rapids965. podcast. Rate, review, share, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We're also on Facebook. Like us on Facebook if you haven't. Send us your questions using the hashtag AskHTHL. We didn't get any this week, so we'd love some for next week. And email us at rapid96podcast@gmail.com. Check out our Substack for Mark's written work, holdingthehighline.substack.com. Check out my written work at burgundywave.com. And tell your favorite Tanzanian American about us. I don't believe that we have a download from Tanzania. Would love to get some more stuff on the African continent, either by you traveling on safari and then listening to us on safari, or by maybe having some Africans join it. Maybe we need to sign Kamungo, Mark. That's the ticket. You know, when we had a couple Swedes on the team, we'd get some downloads in Sweden. When we had Sam Nicholson and Danny Wilson, you know, we got 10 or so subscribers from Scotland as well. We need some more Uganda representation.
We need to be the biggest soccer podcast on Major League Soccer in Angola. Just make it happen, people. I don't know how, but let's get it going.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening to Holding a Highline. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. We'll be back next week to review Dallas and preview Portland Timbers and the international break before I head off to Tanzania. Baldwin.
Peace.